I'm not sure what to make of the fact that you sort of assume that the last speaker will have the most alcohol inside of him. I don't know if that's a subtle hint I need to relax a little bit more or something along those lines. This Chol HaMoed Pesach is going to be the 25th Yahrzeit of Rabbi Soloveitchik. I thought it was very appropriate to share with you some Divrei Haggadah on the Haggadah. Ideas that hopefully will enrich your Seder. I certainly don't need to give any biographical words of introduction regarding the Rav, as we endearingly call him. I'm sure that almost all of you, if not all of you, are familiar with the impact and legacy the Rav has on our community until today. And the words of Torah that I'm going to share over the next 25 minutes or so should be as the chutz for his neshama. Let's start with the mitzvah of Haseba. So there's a phenomenal medrash that seems to be nothing more than a play on words. The Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Beshalach, Vayesev Elokim es ha'am derech ha'midbar yamsuf v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim, that God took the Jewish people out in a circuitous way when they left Egypt, the people left armed when they departed from their masters in the land of Egypt. So the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah seems to just make a cute play on words. Vayasev Elokim es ha'am, that God ensured that the people left in a circuitous roundabout way. We didn't go straight into the land of Israel. Mikan amru rabbeinu, from here our rabbis teach us, afilu anisha b'Yisrael, even the poorest Jews in Israel, lo yochal ad sheyesev, should not eat on the Seder night until they are leaning. Shekach asa kadosh baruch hu sheneemar v'yasev aleihem, because this is what God did when he took us out of Egypt. As it says, v'yasev elokim. Vayasev related to Haseba. So again, at first glance, this is nothing more than a cute little play on words. Vayasev Elokim, Haseba. From here we learn they have to do Haseba and lean on the night of the Seder. But the Rav understood that this is not simply a cute play on words, but rather there is a profound insight that the Medrash is making. And the Rav explains as follows. Imagine how difficult it is when a very poor person comes to the Seder and is told to act like a free man. It's really quite difficult to act in a luxurious, free way when you are shackled with the burden of supporting a family of nothing to provide for them. When you have no money in your bank account and you have to somehow buy matzah and wine and all the other expensive products. It's really not easy to act like a free man. So how can Chazal expect of us to come to the Seder and recline like we're free, and all the things in life are good when it's just the opposite? So says the Rav, we have to remember that God works in unusual and roundabout ways. That while it's true that at this moment there might be a feeling of servitude, there might be a feeling of extreme poverty and all the other emotions that come along with that, Jew has to remember when he sits down to the Seder that God works in roundabout ways, and that right now it might be a feeling of galus, it might be a feeling of shibud, but we never know what tomorrow will bring. Very similar to what Rabbi Ganaka suggested, although I'm suggesting it in a better fashion. Sorry, that's the alcohol. I'm just kidding. But comes along the Medrash and says, Vayasev Elokim es ha'am, that God took us out in a circuitous way. Mikan amru rabbeinu, from here our rabbis teach us, afilu ani shebi Yisrael lo yochal ad sheyesev, from here the rabbis teach us that even the poorest of the poor, people who do feel shackled with their life experiences, have the ability to eat on the night of Seder with the feeling of chirus, with the feeling of freedom, because we know that the journey of life is a roundabout one and the geula can really come at any moment. And that's why it's really a precise limud of Haseba from this pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Beshalach. A really phenomenal insight that Rabbi Soloveitchik offered. Insight number one. Insight number two relates to Halach Ma'anya. I'm going to share with you two insights related to Halach Ma'anya, both in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Halach Ma'anya really begins the crux of the Seder, the Magid experience. Why did Chazal tell us to start our Magid experience by basically opening our door symbolically and say, this is the poor man's bread, whoever is hungry, let them come and eat. And we've all discussed, I'm sure, that this seems to be somewhat of a very, very shallow invitation, because after all, we're all seated. The door is not even open. How serious are we when we say, whoever is hungry, let them come and eat? So what were Chazal really getting at when they enacted this as the opening part of our Seder experience of the Maggid? So the Rav has two ideas. The first one the Rav suggests is that the act of Halach Ma'anya, the act of inviting those into our Sidarim who don't have what to eat, is an act of Chesed. And the act of Chesed, by definition, is the act of a free man. Because when someone is enslaved, they are not in charge of their own actions. Their actions are defined by their masters. Their masters tell them with precision exactly what should be done. They don't have any mind capacity to think about anybody else. They are purely focused on a task that is being asked of them and nothing more. The ability to invite someone else to join the Seder is the ability to think beyond yourself. Is the ability to be in control of your own mind. What are the actions that I am going to do tonight? What are the thoughts that I will have? Are they going to be self-centered thoughts, or will they be thoughts centered on others? And therefore, the act of inviting others in, symbolic in the Halach Ma'anya, is not simply like a vain, shallow invitation, but is rather the greatest reflection of our chirus, the greatest reflection of our freedom, the mind capacity to think about others and decide on our own where we will throw in all of our efforts to bring chesed into the seder, or God forbid, to keep it a self-centered, egotistical type of experience. The Rambam famously says that on Yontif, a person just invites their family to eat with them and nobody else. So that is not a Simchas Yontif, but rather a Simchas Kreso. That's not the experience of enjoying Yontif. That's experience of enjoying your own physical pleasures and not sharing with anybody else. That's not the type of Yom Tov experience that Chazal envisioned. And that's why Halach Ma'anya is such a beautiful way to begin the Seder. So that's thought number one from the Rav. The second thought I find to be so beautiful and resonates so strongly, in particular in the modern era in which we find ourselves. Perhaps one can suggest, and this is not something that the Rav writes regarding Halach Ma'anya, this is a comment that the Rav writes in Parshas Chayesara, when Eliezer comes to visit Rivka. Well, he doesn't know he's visiting Rivka. He comes to find a shidduch for Yitzchak. And he comes across this young lady. The water seemingly miraculously comes to the woman's pail. She doesn't have to put her pail in. Eliezer finds Rivka, and he says to her, "Hayesh beis avich makom lanu lalin." Is there a place for us for lodging in your father's home? The Rav explains that Eliezer was not asking a physical, practical question like, "Is there an extra bed that I can sleep on?" But rather, the Rav explains that Eliezer was inquiring, is there space in your father's home for the perspective of others? Were you raised in a home where you were the only perspective that was correct, and there was simply no other emotional, intellectual space made for other opinions and other vantage points? The Rav writes, and I quote, "Is there room in your father's house for the messenger of Abraham who brings a new faith, a new ethic, a new morality? Or are you aristocrats of Haran so proud that you do not wish to give ear to the poor Meshulach from the land of Canaan?" That was the question that Eliezer poses to Rivka regarding her upbringing. Are you rigid? Unflexible? Are you rigid? Are you unwilling to consider the perspective of others? Or is there an openness to learning what others have to say? And I believe that that can also explain the Halach Ma'anya. We open up our homes symbolically on the night of the Seder, and we make a statement, and we say, we do not have a monopoly on all good ideas. The Divrei Torah that I, as the one who's leading the Seder, are not the only enjoyable, meaningful Divrei Torah to share, but rather I'm opening my door symbolically expressing my interest in learning from the other perspectives, what other people have to share at the Seder. And that's why we start with Halach Ma'anya. It's a symbolic opening of the door, but it's a very meaningful one, where we are stating empathically that we will consider what other people have to say, right? In life nowadays, there's such a rigidity. Your perspective on whatever the issue is, be it political, be it financial, whatever the issue is, we know we're right and everyone else is wrong. If somebody is slightly more to the left of us, they're a raging liberal. If they're slightly more to the right of us, they're a hawkish conservative / Haredi, and we have the exact correct position, just in the middle, not too left, not too right. And of course, that's not really the case. We can learn from a lot of other people in life. And the statement of Halach Ma'anya is inviting other people to contribute meaningful insights to our Seder. Last, I'll end off with a well-known contribution of the Rav, but I always think that this one is such an important one to consider. The Rav writes that in the midst of the Magid, towards the beginning, we say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, we thank God for giving us the Torah. Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'amo Yisrael. So why is it that there's this version, a distilled version of Berachas HaTorah in the Seder? So the Rav explains that, first of all, one of the differentiations between the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim versus Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is the fact that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim can be done very quickly. The mitzvah of Sipur requires in-depth Torah study. But really, there's much more to it. It's that on the night of the Seder, we not only celebrate our physical freedom, but we really celebrate our spiritual freedom. Our spiritual freedom comes from Limud HaTorah. Our spiritual freedom comes from no place else. So specifically, when we sit down around the table and enjoy a very meaningful Seder, we have to make reference to the Torah, because ultimately the reason why we left the land of Egypt was not to play tennis, was not to twiddle our thumbs, but was what, to engage in very deep and meaningful Limud HaTorah, hence Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'amo Yisrael. The last of the Divrei Torah of the Rav that I'll share with you this evening. Thank you very much for listening. And thank you to Sam and everybody else who invited me and who arranged. I did not anticipate drinking nearly as much beer as I did. If I would have known, I would have taken an Uber. But hopefully I will make it safely back to New Jersey. Baruch Hashem, Fort Lee is just right over the bridge. So I should just be fine. Thank you very much, everyone. Shukola.
We'd like to again thank everybody for coming, for continuing with this tradition of Man Seder. This is amazing. I want to thank the planning committee, Ari, Naftali, Mo, Alon, for really being part of this beautiful, beautiful tradition.